So I'm very glad to be talking today to Chip Connolly, who is the Strategic Advisor for Hospitality and Leadership at Airbnb, or otherwise a hospitality disruptor. I met Chip when I was at the Milken Institute in LA and was really taken by both his role at Airbnb and his own book that he's working on and he'll tell us more about in a second. So Chip, perhaps you can just describe a little bit your role at Airbnb and your own background and why you found yourself there.
Thank you, Andrew. It's great to be with you. I'm a huge fan of The 100-Year Life, so it's an honor to be with you. I started a hotel company, a boutique hotel company, 30 years ago at the age of 26 in San Francisco, California, called Joie de Vivre Hotels. Over the 24 years that I was CEO of that company, we created 52 boutique hotels, became the second largest boutique hotelier in the U.S., and then I sold the business, and I really wasn't sure what I would do next. And I was approached by Brian Chesky, one of the three quite young co-founders of Airbnb and the CEO of the company. And he asked me if I wanted to democratize hospitality, which was a rather bold statement. And he said he wanted me to join them. They wanted me to be the head of global hospitality and strategy for the company. Now, I was retired. I was sort of like in this gap year's time of trying to figure out what was next. And I didn't really think I was going to jump into a 70-hour a week job like that. But I said 15 hours a week, and within 3 weeks it was 15 hours a day. But I loved it, partly because I actually joined thinking I was supposed to be the smart guy helping these young people to figure out what to do. I was the mentor, but quickly, being that I was 52 years old joining a tech company for the first time, I realized I was also the intern. So I was part mentor, part intern, and I realized I had a lot to learn. And I spent 4 years basically helping to guide the rocket ship with the three founders.
So amazing. I love that way you describe it as both the sort of the intern and the mentor. Perhaps let's pick up on the intern part first of all, because obviously in the 100-year life, we talk about a life of multiple stages. And that does mean changes of identity and shifts. We have this linear concept of a career so commonly. How did you find that? I mean, particularly going to what is in essence a tech company.
Yeah, I mean, there was a question that sort of flashed in my mind in the first few weeks. I realized, wow, I'm supposed to be the mentor to the very smart, growth mindset CEO, but I also report to him. So what would it be like actually for the first time in my life getting a performance review from somebody the age of my son? So I had to really shift my thinking because the company didn't need two CEOs. I was not the shadow CEO. I was more the CEO whisperer, helping just like a horse whisperer or a dog whisperer. You sort of help guide the young talent. And I think more than anything, I had to really shift that sense of identity of instead of being the person on the main stage, you know, projecting, the image of the company, I was really the person behind the scenes. So my ego had to get properly ratcheted down. I had to sort of think of the work I was doing more as a legacy and what Erickson would have called generativity. To actually help to the company and the idea of this particular extremely talented but quite young CEO, how can I help them be the best they can be? And the question that I always asked myself with all my direct reports, and then I actually infused it in the whole company, was a question that's a classic, you know, mentor question, which is, how can I support you to do the best work of your life here at Airbnb? And that became the mantra for all of our leaders in the company.
And that, I guess, leads on. I mean, I guess two things. The first is in your HBR article, you talk about you just started asking fairly basic questions. You didn't mind revealing that there were lots of things you didn't know.
I would preface by saying, you know, I've never worked in a tech company before. One woman once said to me after a meeting, "How can you be so smart and so dumb at the same time?" And she was laughing and joking, but there was truth because I was really naive about. I didn't even know the word product described the website. So you know, there was a whole bunch of lingo I had to learn, and yet by being that vulnerable and that willing to be candid about what I didn't know, it actually helped both, I guess, give me some credibility that I was just an honest and authentic person, but also gave everybody else the opportunity to not try to be Mr. or Mrs. Know-It-All. The company is full of really smart people who are young, many of whom had worked at Google and Facebook and Apple and Amazon, and they trade on the idea of who's the smartest person in the room. And the thing I kept at saying to them is, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're probably in the wrong room. So I think the idea that you're constantly learning and you're open to talking about what you don't know means that you're on that growth mindset, which Carol Dweck from Stanford is somebody I really admire, and her work really defines, I think, what a fast-growing tech company needs to be.
Yeah, and I thought what struck me in hearing you talk and reading what you wrote was that, you know, this is a transition for you, and of course you've got, and therefore got to let go of some of your old identity, but that learning is important for the growth mindset. But also, in a way, because you had an experience and because you weren't trying to be the CEO, you could let go of the ego and ask questions in a very different way. And I thought that was really very fascinating. I guess that leads us on to this topic of your next book, The Concept of the Modern Elder. So perhaps do you want to say a little bit more about that?
Well, you know, I actually have given now, I think, 3 talks on the subject in the last year. And when I was going on stage for the first time to talk about what does it mean to be a modern elder, a longtime friend who is 51 years old, so I'm 56 now, he pulled me aside and he looked at me and he said, "What the hell are you doing?" And I said, "What do you mean?" And he says, you're going on stage to talk about being elderly. And I said, "Well, no, not exactly. I'm going on stage to talk about what is an elder in the modern world." And he said, "Well, that's the same." And I said, "You know, go listen to me for the next half hour and tell me what you think." Once I left stage, he pulled me aside and he was crying, and he understood. So what did I say in that half hour that got through to him? Well, the key is to know that, you know, in the history of time, the elders, traditional elders, were, you know, sort of wisdom flowed downhill. There was sort of a hierarchical approach to wisdom, and especially in the pre-literate society where everything was passed on through oral tradition and nothing was written, it was all about, you know, passing on traditions and celebrations and rituals. And, you know, as agrarians, sometimes it was just the wisdom of the land through older people. All that changed starting in the 19th century and then absolutely in the 20th century. And what used to be the elder now became the elderly, and instead of being the welderly, they're the elderly, and they're the people who are living longer and longer and longer and costing us more and more money and less relevant. And so the thing I started to ask myself as I realized, I'm not an elderly person, I'm in my mid-50s, but I am somebody who's thinking, I've got an extra 20 or 30 years of my life, what am I going to do with it? And I have some wisdom that I can actually share with people who are younger. And what's interesting is power in a digital society is moving younger, because especially in the Silicon Valley where I'm based, you know, the younger people are more savvy about digital. And the bottom line is that may be true. So power is moving to them more quickly, but that's actually putting a lot of strain and stress on them because they don't actually have the leadership wisdom, the emotional intelligence, or even the strategic, you know, skinning your knee a few times and learning the lesson that someone older can provide. So I do feel like there's a modern elder opportunity for our society where we create an intergenerational transfer of wisdom that goes in both directions. It's not, again, it's not just about the wisdom flowing downhill. It actually will flow uphill now. I learned a lot from the younger people. A lot of digital intelligence, but they learned a lot of emotional intelligence and strategic intelligence from me.
And I mean, this is a fascinating concept, but within the firm, how is that sort of intergenerational trade working? Is it difficult? I mean, we talk a lot about diversity being a positive, and I guess age is one dimension of that diversity, but was it easily accepted?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think it's been sort of a blind spot. In Silicon Valley, it's a huge blind spot. Diversity is a big question in Silicon Valley, but age is the third piece of it, and it's the most painful one. Yeah. Gender and race are the two that get more of the attention. But the truth is, Silicon Valley can be ageist, and especially in the technical or engineering core. I think I shifted some of that thinking, but we now are institutionalizing at Airbnb. Everything from how are we listening to our aging customers, because Airbnb doesn't just seek out millennials as their customer, as our guests and our hosts. Our most high-profile guests in the world on Airbnb, who've been on the platform now for 1,000 days in a row, is an older couple. He's in his early 70s. She's in her early 60s. They're called the Senior Nomads. They've had 50 articles written about them all over the world. And so they're coming and actually becoming senior interns. They're coming this fall and for 10 weeks, really immersing a voice of the customer. Our fastest growing segment in the company of hosts is people 50 and older, because they tend to be empty nesters. Yeah. They've got the kids gone, that have a couple extra bedrooms at home. They're trying to figure out how to create income for themselves for a long time. Gosh, Airbnb and opening your home to strangers is an alternative. So between that and then internally in the company, creating an ERG, which is called an employee resource group. So that you have employee resource groups for different segments of the demographic segments of your employee population, usually for age, gender, or gender and race, etc. Well, now we have one for age. It's called Wisdom at Airbnb, and it's older employees at Airbnb talking about how they can integrate more some of their wisdom within the company. So long story short is that we are trying to be a role model for a tech company that's very age agnostic.
Really interesting. And I like both from the consumer and the worker point of view. I mean, you know, with the 100-year life, we talk about the end of the three stages and creating new stages of life. And I think your senior nomads are a great example of that, of people fit and healthy and wanting to travel. And that's amazing to then bring them in to sort of give them that experience. Also, I think, you know, the trouble with the three-stage life was that retirement is seen as being non-productive. And, right. You know, that phrase, the dependency ratio, which is working out how many people who are after retirement age and how they're dependent on others, really does undermine that concept of wisdom. So I think the modern elder is great. But, you know, you've obviously been successful at Airbnb. But you know, it's a tough place, Silicon Valley, to get younger people to listen to older people. So what have been the pitfalls and how have you overcome that?
Well, I think that, you know, there's a lot of evidence out there that intergenerational teams do better. And just like diverse teams tend to do better, intergenerational teams are a form of diversity. And so letting people know about that is important. Helping those that are older have a little bit of consciousness raising. There was a time 30 or 40 years ago where there was a lot of consciousness raising for the feminist movement, for women to feel comfortable to raise their voices, or ultimately Sheryl Sandberg talked about leaning in. Well, I think we need to do the same for people who have a little bit of experience. And it doesn't mean that you're sort of you expect everyone to venerate you, or that you are, you know, because you raise your voice, you bring something up, you are older and therefore you have to be listened more. No, you actually don't deserve that. Nobody deserves the kind of veneration that elders in the past got. But what you need to do is be able to listen well. Having talked with a lot of modern elders, I have come to the conclusion that the number one thing that is common amongst them that's different than a lot of older people who just want to be heard is the modern elder is a really good listener, first and foremost. And in listening, because they have wisdom and they have just thinking and they're really good at synthesis, where, you know, we may not be able to memorize things or remember things as well as our younger cohorts, but we are actually particularly good at being able to synthesize things. That means you actually have to listen. And by listening and becoming a great listener and then actually having an insight that people hadn't thought of otherwise, people start to lean in to listen to you. And that's exactly what happened to me, but I'm not the only person who's seeing this. I've seen this with a variety of my colleagues. About 10% of our employees at Airbnb are people 40 or older. Now, 40 and older is considered old in our world. I'm 56 now, so I'm way old compared to them. But you know, the good news is once people know that they've got a talent and an a gift to offer, and that's the insight, and you create a habitat where people actually want to hear that, it works. So just listening and being really good at knowing that your brain has the ability to synthesize is probably the best advice I can give.
Really interesting. I just and love that idea of being both the intern and the elder, a really fascinating concept. So thank you so much, Chip. It's been a pleasure to listen to you, and really looking forward to reading the book Modern Elder. So thank you very much, Chip.
Thanks, Andrew.